There will be many other nights like this, and I'll be standing here with someone new. There will be other songs to sing, another fall, another spring. There will never be another you. There will be other lips that I may kiss, but they won't thrill me like yours used to do. I may dream a million dreams, how can they come true if there will never, ever be another you?
With Fred Travellina.
That's it.
And Fred, of course, you know, we know you for your impressions and your great comedic abilities, but starting to get discovered now for something you've always dreamed of and loved, and that's music.
Yes, it's. I haven't given up the comedy and the impressions, but I do this new dimension, which is picking up the baton of singing, and it turns out that God gave me a flair for songwriting. And the CD, the first one, did very well, and now I'm working on actually two others at the same time.
Yeah. So the one we have here is called We All Need Love Today.
Uh-huh.
And I assume that's available through your website at...
through the website.
FredTravellinaInConcert.com.
Right. And it's doing very well, and we've got some great reviews on it, which I was thrilled, because everybody was expecting me to be singing like... Frank Sinatra or Sting or Phil Collins or something, and I said, no, this is actually me. So I held my breath and I got a great response, and now I'm moving forward with some other stuff.
I think the point is, though, that people like yourself that can do a quote-unquote impression of someone like a Frank Sinatra or Sammy Davis Jr. or Dean Martin or whoever have voices that are good voices that can obviously be used for other things that are adaptable in their own context as well.
Oh, yes.
So you've always been able to sing, but it's just a matter of getting your own thing down.
It's going back and finding that kid who wanted to sing at 19,
mm-hmm.
and finding him again, because when I went in the studio the first few times, I went in and I redid some of the tracks because I didn't like the way they came out. And now I'm comfortable in there. I know what Fred Travellina sounds like.
Mm.
As strange as that may sound, I know who he is as a singer, and so I'm able to do it.
It's interesting. You were born in the Bronx, right?
Born in the Bronx, 178th Street in the Concourse.
Raised on Long Island.
Yep.
And you went into the military. Did you always dream of an entertainment career?
Well, I was in and out of that thought process because my father was a semi-pro entertainer who had worked with Sinatra when they were just kids. I mean, they weren't close friends or anything, but they worked at a place called the Rustic Cabin as singing waiters. And so my mom had an interest in show business, and I wanted to be a commercial artist. That was my big goal, be a cartoonist, commercial artist. And I got into that when I got out of high school. I graduated when I was 17, and I went into the art business, art world, and it just wasn't for me. And after that, I tried selling, and that wasn't for me. And when I got into the Army, through a set of circumstances, I ended up getting assigned to Special Services at Fort Belvoir, Virginia. And there's where I got into the entertainment. And my wife, Lois, of 30 years, was a secretary on the post, and her dad... was in the military, and I met her there, and she suggested that I start to do an act because I was a, quote, funny guy who could sing. And through her pushing, we put together an act called Fred and Lois, and we toured the military bases, and that's where it really did start for me.
Hmm. Now, when you were in school, for instance, I know when I was a kid, I used to do impressions of everybody, and including the principal, sometimes on the speaker if I could get a hold of the PA system.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do things like that too? Were you a clown in school? And,
oh,
and,
sure.
Yeah. That's the only preparation for that kind of career.
Yeah, well, I used to do what they call the kids called it anyway, the wrap-up, the Wednesday wrap-up. I had no clue I was formulating a thought pattern I would make a living from. But on Wednesday afternoons, we'd hang out near the coffee shop, and I would do a wrap up of the week to so far, impressions of other students, impressions of teachers, comedy lines and stuff. And they really did laugh, and I was always embarrassed to do it because I, like, what am I doing? And they'd say, no, do that bit about the coach, do that bit about the science teacher, do that bit. So I started to realize, what's going on here? You know, and it stayed in the back of my mind as I went on in life. And that thinking, which I call the Kilroy thinking, you know, what's really going on here, is the truth of the humor. When I get the biggest laughs, it's when I put some kind of truth on the stage that the people say, yes, that's the truth, and it's funny.
Now, if you don't do an impression for a while, do you lose it?
Yes, you can. There are certain voices that are on the deeper register that unless you're, like, it's like a baseball player's arm who pitches.
Mm-hmm.
If you're pitching every day, you got your fastball, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it doesn't bother you. If you're not, and you're off for a month, and you throw the fastball first inning out, you're going to be hurting. So it's the same thing with impressions. You've got to work the instrument just like a musical instrument, trumpet or whatever. You've got to practice and be on top of your game with that instrument. Otherwise, you will lose the sound of the voices. And one of the things that I like about where my work is right now, I have my own sound as a singer. People say, I recognize that, it's Fred Travellina. And when I do my impressions, at least the better ones of them, people say, you know what? I can't hear your voice at all in there. And there are a couple of impressionists who, when they do impressions, they sound like themselves doing impressions.
That's true, yeah.
I'll give you an example. Did you see the movie Casino?
Yes.
When it was on TV, the PG version?
I did not see the PG version, but I saw the movie.
Yeah, well, they put it on television, and they had to have all the swear words taken out because of standards and practices.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody in town auditioned to do that because De Niro and Pesci were doing other things, and I guess this Scorsese or somebody had signed off on, if you get somebody who really sounds like these people, you got it. Well, I come from the Bronx, and therefore I had a leg up on it. And when you watch that movie and you see, I'll give you an example, Robert De Niro will say something like, you mother flipping cockroach. Right? You know, because that's the kind of language they had to use.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were watching it, I had my sons had their friends over there watching this thing. And I said, okay, tell me which one is me. You know, and that to me is a compliment in itself that no one can tell whether it's the person or not.
Do you have any favorites you like to do?
Well, I love to do President Clinton. And I will be missing him when he leaves because there is just always so much material about Bill Clinton. And
what about Al Gore? You do him yet?
I do Al Gore. He's very pedantic and very officiating. You know, he's almost like the choir director. Kind of big and stiff, but you know, he's coming along in the polls. George Bush Jr. has a total different sound than his dad. It's quite amazing. He's got that kind of southern Texas kind of thing, you know. But every once in a while, he kind of slips into, my dad told me keep my nose clean, you know.
Yeah, around here, everybody does the impression of our obese senior senator, Edward M. Kennedy.
Oh, yes. Well, he's got his own a style of a voice too, as we look at all of the paper here, you know, and they all had a different sound. Bobbitt was more up there. I realize, of course, we all realize, you know, and Jack had a even higher voice still. We can't win the war for them. We can just help them there, you know. It's interesting. It's fun to do voices.
Yeah, I always liked Ronald Reagan. It's terrible that the man is not feeling well because
I know
he's fun to do.
I had so much fun with him, and I did still do it, but I don't touch the fact that he's not feeling well, and I've done the impression for him. He great sense of humor, you know, and it's always, well, if I knew that they had known, well, then I would have known they knew, and then, well, then I would have known. You know, only he could say these things, and people go, okay.
Yeah, he had to come. Yeah, Jimmy Carter was an easy one to do.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter, you know, he had kind of a kiss my grits, and that's all I care about, you know. The ones who, they were all very defined, you know, and Lyndon Johnson was another one. If you listen to those tapes of him on the phone, he gets pretty rowdy. And, of course, Richard Nixon, I'm glad to see that Clinton had his own problems. After all, Watergate brought me down, and Watergate is where Monica Lewinsky had an apartment.
Now, Gerald Ford must be kind of tough to do voice of. Do you actually do on-stage antics as well when you're up there? Like, do you trip?
I trip. I do the voice. He's not one that they remember to the point, unless you get an older crowd, that I'll say things like, you know, I just spoke with my special Kissinger, Henry Messenger. You know, those kind of mistakes that he used to make. But the younger crowd, they kind of remember three or four of them. They remember Kennedy. They remember Nixon, Reagan, Bush, and Clinton.
Yeah.
But the other ones, they don't have the political point of reference in their head.
Yeah, even some of the classics, the kids see on all these classic networks and stuff, people like George Burns and Jack Benny and Groucho Marx and people like that. Are those still popular in your act as well?
George Burns still goes over great, and all I can say is it's always nice to be working, and I'm going to work till the day going to be working. Jack Benny, you know, the radio show plays out here, and it's absolutely one of the funniest, you know. They're in people's heads because of media.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Because they have all these great old movies that they play, so you have a shot with so many more impressions than when I first started out. Television was the reference point, but not anymore. You've got cable, you've got internet, you've got rock music, country music, adult contemporary. There's a lot of different things to cover.
What's more difficult for you, learning a new impression voice one or a singing voice one?
Well, it all depends on the sound of the voice. I'm working on Ricky Martin right now. That's going to take some doing, because that voice is not in my range. Mm. So I have to create the technique to do it.
Mm.
You know, I was doing a shoot the other day, and someone said, "Well, show how you do a voice, how you find a voice." And right there, out came Richard Dreyfuss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with his very pedantic, "We need paper and pencils, and you're bringing me a great white shark." You know, that consonant, throwing the consonants is what he does.
And that almost hovers on Don Adams there.
Well, Don Adams, yes. Don Adams and William Powell. Remember William Powell?
That's
because Don Adams got the character from William Powell. And then you've got Richard Dreyfuss, you know.
and the kids all, it's funny because I'll sometimes do my Maxwell Smart impression. They don't know who that is, but they all say, "Oh, is that Inspector Gadget?"
Cause that's, mm-hmm. That's right.
Same voice.
Yeah, you know, I just was with Don at an event for the Purple Heart organization out here.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he was at Guadalcanal.
Really?
Yeah, as a kid.
Mm.
Like 17, 18 years old. I had never known that about him.
Wow. In the media, who are some of the more popular ones you do?
In terms of...
people request, like, television, radio.
Oh, Jay Leno, you know. Yeah, we got a great show tonight. Yeah, really, you know, and... Ted Koppel, as we go along. Or Jerry Springer. So you have two cows, a horse, and you live together, you know. I mean, it's... this, you know, and this is a good thing, you know. Him and McLaughlin, is that his name? The guy who's yelling at everybody?
McLaughlin?
McLaughlin Lear.
McNeil Lear.
McNeil Lear, yeah. I can never get it right.
Yeah.
I love, he gets people yelling and screaming, and then he goes to commercial with the most outlandish statement, and then he never comes back to it.
Exactly.
He'll get them screaming, and he'll go, yeah, but we'll Al Gore go to Mitchell's Donuts when it's time to do so. We'll be right back. You know, and then he goes off.
Yeah, that is, Saturday Night Live does a pretty good impression of him.
Yeah,
there's a guy that used to do that.
Yeah, they have a lot of good kids on there out to do impressions.
I saw a clip of you recently doing a Richard Simmons.
Yes, Richard Simmons. Well, you know, it's all about love, isn't it, girls? Come on over here and cry, because I want to make a lot of money.
Deal me out.
Yeah, does.
You don't do David Letterman, do you?
No, I never worked on David Letterman. Joe Piscopo does a write on, probably the best Letterman.
Yeah, but because I know you do Carson and you do Leno.
Oh yeah, Johnny Carson, and the first one to do that, was Rich Little. Was the one who broke that one. Yeah, I miss Carson.
Do you speak with all of Rich Little? Are you guys friends?
Yeah, we run into each other at events every now and then.
Are you competitors?
Well, I guess we are in a friendly sense, but as singers. Our competitors, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's the singers, many different singers, many different comedians, and I guess there's five or six impressionists who are out there in various markets. But we were at an event honoring Steve Wynn for the Friars Club, and Rod Steiger was there. And we both know Rod Steiger just from socially, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're not hangout buddies with the man at all. But Rich and I said, let's go over there and bust him. So he saw us coming, and he starts to laugh. And Rich and I start yelling at him as Rod Steiger. So Rod Steiger has two Rod Steigers yelling at him, okay? What do you think you're doing sitting there like that staring at me? Who do you think you are? Right. Now the man stands up, and he says, I will have no respect for either one of you till you do the pawnbroker.
That's funny. Now, the CD We All Need Love Today, some of the songs that I really, really dig. In fact, we just played one before we came onto the show here called Let Us Try or And Another You.
Uh-huh.
And good stuff from Fred Travellina. When you're up there singing, though, some people say, oh, look, he's doing a lounge singer now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I assume that always, because of what you've done and the reputation that you have, they're always going to think you're doing an impression of someone, even if it's of you.
Well, you've got to have your the thing that erases that is when you do your original stuff.
Yeah.
When you do original stuff, that doesn't happen because they can accept you as a songwriter. But if you wait long enough within the performance, you know that the people in the audience are wondering, can this guy sing as himself?
Hmm.
So when you do it, you got to make sure it's a really powerful moment in the show. That comes up to everything else you've done. Otherwise, the show will take a dip.
We're talking with Fred Travellina. And again, his CD is called We All Need Love Today. You can get it at his website, FredTravellinaInConcert.com. Comedy today, there's a lot of great comedians out there. Who are some of the favorites that you like to do?
Well, Bill Cosby. You know, he's just, the people just know from the, as you see, let you go. Or Jim Carrey, you know, he's a loser. Like him. Del Mar is very, you know, mad at the world. And Jay Leno, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone keeps asking me to do Adam Sandler, but I haven't done that one yet. And of course, Austin Powers.
Yeah.
Who Loves You, Baby? And I do Robert Wagner, who's a friend. And, you know, he's in that movie and has, I guess, reestablished himself all over the place because I just talked to him and he's going from movie to movie now.
That's nice. He's a good guy.
Oh, what a great man.
Yeah. Still popular, Rodney Dangerfield, George Carlin.
Yeah, Rodney Dangerfield. I'm not getting respect, you know what I mean? I gotta tell you. Yeah, I got a great quote from Rodney. I was with him, not with him, but I was in Vegas when he started that whole, when he really hit the home run.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, at that point, four-walling the Tropicana Hotel up the street, which means he bought the room himself.
Hmm.
And he came down to see Shirley MacLaine, and we were hanging out in her dressing room. This is many years ago. And I said, well, congratulations on all your success. Rodney. And he says, yeah, you believe this? He said, I got chicks all over the place. He said, how come this didn't happen to me when I was 20, you know?
That's funny. I think that right now still the best comedian out there is one that's been around for a while, George Carlin.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. He's probably the hardest worker and the most prolific. You know, he's always coming up with new things.
Mm.
And he's always hilarious.
He's just so intelligent.
He really does. He's the top of the line, I guess. He's the guy who became the world's Lenny Bruce, you know.
And I assume you do him.
George?
Yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit. Gotta bring your stuff, you know. he's funny, man. He that whole bit on the airport that he does.
Mm. I just bought his latest CD a while back, and I was laughing hysterically. It's just so funny.
Not
for kids.
Brilliant guy.
Brilliant guy. Also, Fred Travellino with us, Mr. Everybody. And his new CD is called We All Need Love Today, and can be purchased at FredTravellinoInConcert.com. I assume your schedule's up there, too, if folks want to see you on the road.
Yes, I'm going to be home for the next 2 weeks. Then I go out on, I do two cruises in the next month, back-to-back, so that's where they'll see me, Royal Caribbean and Carnival Cruises.
Now, I know you've done stuff like Texas Ranger and, and Lumbo and things. Any TV stuff scheduled we can see you at?
Let's see. Yeah, I just did a tiny cameo on Beverly Hills 90210, and there's a special version of Greed coming up, and I'll be on The View soon, and probably Regis and Kathy Lee next month. I want to get on there before she leaves.
When is your 90210 thing going to air?
It aired already.
It was
a small part.
What did you...
I played a comedy club owner.
Oh, really?
What a stretch.
Did you get to meet some of the cast members?
Yeah, they're nice people.
Yeah, I'm a big, huge 90210 fan. But unfortunately, it's on the way out the door.
Yeah, but it had a run. Look at the run it has. It's like X-Files.
Yeah. X-Files is a pretty good show. But
that was my favorite show.
Yeah, you into that show?
What's that?
You get into that. That's the kind of show you get into.
Oh, yeah. I used to travel with the tapes.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Is there any...
play them. Because I'm into that kind of stuff, UFOs. And.
So you must like the Sci-Fi Channel, huh?
I love the Sci-Fi Channel.
That's perfect for you.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, I wanted to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us, Fred.
And thank you. I very much appreciate your time. And on we go.
All right. You take care of yourself. And good luck with the music career.